101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Thank y'all so much for tapping in with us today. We are live and direct from the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Happy Friday. Hope you all had an amazing evening. A lot of things that's happening this weekend. We got the Black Arts Fest tomorrow, as well as Brownsville Fest on Sunday. So if you're looking for something to do, be sure to take your family, your friends, your loved ones to one of those events. Some amazing things going on. Lattimore Brothers, Dave Hollister, our people's MJ, they will be performing at the Black Arts Music Fest tomorrow and on Sunday. Shout out to Torian G, Melinda, Zakira, Darius, and Edwin, my students at Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy. They will be performing on the Brownsville stage Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon as well. Let's get into it. It's a lot happening, not only in the city of Milwaukee, the state of Wisconsin, but throughout the entire world. Today, we're going to talk about this West Nile virus that just popped up in Wauwatosa. Apparently, there's also some hackers who are targeting America's water system and a disturbing home invasion here in the city of Milwaukee. A public corruption case involving a former city official and one of the biggest sports stories making national headlines involving former NFL quarterback Tony Romo. I know y'all seen that video. I know y'all seen the body cam. It's funny, but it's not funny. But first, let's kick it off with this West Nile virus. Health officials have confirmed mosquitoes collected in Wauwatosa has tested positive for the West Nile virus. And here's what you should know. Most people who become infected with the West Nile virus never develop symptoms at all. However, about 1 in 5 people may experience symptoms such as fever, headaches, body aches, fatigue, joint pain, skin rash, nausea, or vomiting, which is crazy because that's the symptoms for everything. So it's like, how will you know, right? At this point, it's safe to say maybe just don't go outside. Like, Jesus, what else are we supposed to do? We can't run from mosquitoes or hide from them. Health officials are also encouraging everyone to reduce standing water around their homes because mosquitoes breed in it. They're also recommending insect repellent and long sleeves during dawn and dusk when mosquitoes are most active. Not sure how that's going to work in this heat. Again, I don't know how we got here. Seems like the same viruses continue to show up decades later. In other news, the American water system is under attack. This sounds like something out of a movie. The FBI says hackers targeted municipal water systems across several different states, right? The very thing that every family depends on every single day. They say that these attacks were detected and there are no reports of widespread disruptions, but it raises an important question. How dependent have we become on technology, right? Years ago, people worried about someone breaking into their home. Today, we are worried about people breaking into the water system. That's a completely different kind of public safety conversation, right? Obviously, because it's a necessity, but also because what do we do in the event that something happens with the water system? If they've managed to do it to several states, I'm not quite sure how long or what the span of time was. But what if that happens to all of the states in the United States of America? What do we do? Sounds like, again, another movie. Let's talk about this home invasion. Charges have been filed after a violent Milwaukee home invasion. This is something that's very sickening to me. Something that I can't wrap my mind around. An elderly woman, 99 years old, was her house was broken into on 14th and Scott. and she was beat severely. A criminal complaint said an officer went inside through the back door, which was closed, but not locked, and immediately encountered the person who broke inside of this elderly woman's home. When the officer confronted the suspect, they said, "What the F you acting stupid for? You know I don't care about dying." So this is somebody who has nothing to lose. These are the type of people who are running around the city of Milwaukee. According to Fox 6, the officer could hear an elderly woman in another room but could not see her. Court filing said that the suspect claimed the woman in the other room was his grandma before he was escorted outside of the house. Police found the 99-year-old victim covered in blood. The complaint said her eyes were swollen shut and her mouth was so swollen she could hardly speak. Her arms were covered in cuts and bruises, and she was only able to yell in agony when asked where she was hurt. Her full injuries were not determined as of July 31st when charges were filed. The woman was later able to tell police that she woke up to loud banging on her door. When she opened the door, a stranger attacked her and forced her onto the floor. Began to curse at her and kick her. Nothing appeared to be stolen from the home. It just appears that the suspect began to beat the victim up immediately after she opened the door. And there apparently was no reason. So again, how does this happen? Right. To me, this sounds like the suspect has some type of mental issues and not sure, you know, what the mental issues are. But breaking inside of an elderly woman's home and beating her almost to death is insane. Again, she was 99 years old. I can imagine if this was my grandmother or, you know, someone, a loved one. Eager to see what type of charges or what they're going to do with this case. But if you have family members who are elders, man, please, you know, look out for them. Make sure that they are okay. Right. Don't leave them in a house alone, especially at that age. When I was growing up, my grandmother lived to see 103. She only passed away due to old age. But when I was growing up, we didn't, you know, my family didn't believe in nursing homes or allowing our grandparents to live alone. Someone always had to be inside of the home with them for health reasons, for safety reasons, all of the above. And I understand that that's not the case for everyone, especially if, you know, you have no family here or you don't have any family left. But if that is not the case, man, we have to make sure that our elders are taken care of. This is extremely disturbing, and I really don't understand how something like this could happen. Again, hope that, you know, he get what he deserve. When they do end up in court, because that's a lot. Moving on to other latest news in Milwaukee. There's an update in the misconduct trial involving a former Milwaukee city official, Tierman Spencer. Listen, this has been going on, if I'm not mistaken, for about 2 years now. It was getting a little messy, but basically former Milwaukee City Attorney Tierman Spencer was found guilty of felony misconduct on Friday, July 31st, today. The prosecutor said Spencer directed staff to draft a legal memo to stop city property inspections and avoid thousands in fees on a building where he stored his personal cars. Investigation records show Spencer misled investigators and personally emailed the memo to the property owner. A jury on Friday found former Milwaukee City Alderman Tierman Spencer guilty of felony misconduct. The jury also found him not guilty of resisting or obstructing an officer. Jury selection began on Monday, with the jury trial beginning on Tuesday. The jury reached a verdict in the early afternoon on Friday, and his sentencing is scheduled for September 11th, according to Fox 6. We got to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to dig into this a little bit more. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Hey, Shema.
Did you violate it?
One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Before we went to break, we were talking about former Milwaukee City Attorney Tierman Spencer being charged with misconduct. Today he went to court. He was his sentencing is scheduled for in September 11th. So specifically, the 67-year-old Spencer, well, at this time, I believe he's 69, is accused of directing city attorney's office staff and resources to the property, avoid fees and repairs on required DNS, which is Department of Neighborhood Services inspections that totaled thousands of dollars. Prosecutors said Spencer also misled investigators about the use of resources for his own personal benefit while also admitting that he directed city attorney resources for his personal benefit. And contrary to the office client, the City of Milwaukee Department of Neighborhood Services, the city attorney's office would be tasked with representing DNS in court. Spencer was first elected as city attorney in April of 2020, and the misconduct in question took place between June 1st, 2022 and February 14th, 2023. So this was happening for quite some time, right? And again, this is according to Fox 6. It makes me wonder how many people, how many trusted elected officials in office are utilizing their status, their role, and the resources that are meant for the city for their own personal gain. Listen, and this isn't alleged. He was actually charged today with this. So, again, between the water system being hacked, between this West Nile virus, between these COVID vaccinations, the whole world is just ghetto. Everything is just ghetto right now. It's too much going on. It just makes you want to stay inside and not do anything, not go anywhere. There's a lot going on in Milwaukee too, but this right here took the cake. And it's ironic that this is all happening during one of the biggest governor's race in Wisconsin history. Eager to see how this is going to play out as well. Speaking of the governor's race, we had Erica Crowley, Mrs. Erica Crowley, on yesterday. Again, shout out to her. Shout out to her husband, David Crowley. The interview was amazing. We got a chance to speak with her about, her personal goals, where she come from. And one of the things that she addressed was the Twitter account, David's Twitter account. And she said that it ain't nobody business. Whatever happened 10, 15, 20 years ago, if she doesn't worry about it, you guys shouldn't be either. Basically, at the end of the day. And it came out of her mouth. So I don't want to hear nothing else about them tweets, man. We also had a good conversation about the housing crisis as well as the educational system. And there was something in particular that she mentioned that I think we should touch on a little bit as well, which is postpartum depression. She stated that when David first was elected as the county exec in 2020 and she received her new position as a director in 2020 while also having two daughters and a newborn, she was diagnosed with postpartum depression. So she was dealing with all of that stuff while they both were at the beginning of their careers, and then had to, go through the first year with dealing with that as well. And I truly, truly thank Erica for being that vulnerable because, again, a lot of times when we have people or candidates who are running for office, again, yesterday I mentioned that who you marry matters. And as we began to speak with Mrs. Crowley, she hit some points that, you know, pretty much explain why who you marry matters, as well as the vulnerability and the things that happens behind closed doors that no one sees. There's a lot that goes into being a wife, being a mother, being a sister, a sibling, all of the above. But I just want to take time to commend her and to, you know, just touch on this subject a little bit more. We have to be very, very mindful and considerate. The internet is a wild place. Social media is a wild place. And we know that we can't control what people do, say, or anything like that. But and I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about just being human. Be mindful of how you treat people. Be mindful of what you say to people when they're not around and when they are around, because you don't know what people go through, right? Sometimes it takes a lot for someone just to get up out the bed, let alone continue on with their day to do whatever it is that they need to do, whether it's physically, mentally, or both, right? There's just so much happening with us as human beings. And oftentimes we forget to be human beings, right? We have these expectations, especially, you know, when it comes to community leaders or activists or elected officials, so on and so on. And it becomes very difficult, right? When you have all of these hats and the weight of the world is on your shoulders, sometimes it's a lot. And there are some very, very cruel people in the world who are selfish and tend not to think about anyone other than themselves and how things can benefit them. Very transactional. And I speak about this all the time. You know, I'm not a transactional person at all. I try to be mindful. But at the same time, I just have to remind myself that everybody did not grow up the way I did, and everybody is not me, and I can't expect me from other people. But again, my whole point in this all is just, you know, be mindful, man. Be mindful. Be mindful of what's happening on the other side of that door in someone else's life. 9 times out of 10, if we knew half of the battles that people face, we will be a little bit more kind, right? It's a lot of people walking around here who are depressed. There are a lot of women out there who are have been diagnosed with postpartum depression and is still expected to get up and be a mother and be a wife and be a child, a sister, all of the above, while going to work and still taking care of their daily needs. Even men. Men suffer from depression. We all suffer from something. We all have PTSD, anxiety, depression. If you black, you got something. But I just truly, again, want to send a shout out to Erica and anyone else who may be dealing with those types of things. Please, please, please make sure you get as much help as needed. You don't want to sit in that misery. You don't want to sit in that pain. You don't want to sit in that mental state, especially alone, because your thoughts can trick you into believing something that you shouldn't believe. So my advice again would be to make sure that you seek the help that you need, you know, whether it's therapy, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whatever it is. And for those family members that's around, you know, don't come around in the beginning when the baby is first born and then just disappear, man. Especially with the a mother who is dealing with postpartum. Be a little bit more supportive, right? Call and check on them more. Make sure you know, spend some time with that child. Do something to help them with whatever it is that they're going through. Unless you have gone through it, you really don't know. You really don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of black women, that's not something that we were taught. You know, we were not taught about postpartum depression growing up, or once, you know, we had a child, or even in health education. This is just something that we can identify within ourselves. Hey, something is going on with me, right? I don't know what it is. I got mood swings. One minute my mood is good, the next minute it's not. I'm tired. I'm angry. I'm happy. I'm sad. Whatever it is, you can identify it, but we don't technically know what to call it because it's not something that we were told to research or told to study. And a lot of women suffer from postpartum depression, right? A lot of women do. And they react in different ways. And instead of their partner or someone around them noticing it and advising them to get help, they just consider them as crazy or lazy or whatever the case may be. But again, it's a struggle, man. It's rough out here, especially if you're a new mom, especially if you're a mom who wears multiple hats and you don't have the support. Even if you do have the support, it's still rough, period. So shout out to all of the women who are or has gone through postpartum depression and who are taking the initiatives and the steps to take care of their mental health, make sure that they are doing whatever it is that they need to do to stay sane in this world. If you don't have anyone to reach out to, you know, research. There's many organizations around the city of Milwaukee that offer services when it comes to depression. You can dial 211. They have, that's a direct line where they can get you immediate services, especially if it is an emergency. So again, we had an amazing interview yesterday with Mrs. Erica Crowley. You know, I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, but what I will tell you is to make sure that you pay attention to the candidates, what they represent, what their spouses represent, what they have done, what they, you know, plan on doing. But for me, you know, Team Crowley, that's my decision. I've done my research.
That's your endorsement?
That's my endorsement. Yep. I've done my research. I've, you know, did my due diligence, and I don't believe a lot of the hype from other candidates. It sounds good, but if you know politics, a lot of what a specific candidate speaks about is not possible, you know. So again, is sometimes people will lead you down the wrong path, man, and lead you into a burning building with all of these promises that are unrealistic, and we fall for it every time. It's about time we get realistic. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Thank you so much for tapping in with us today. Happy Friday, Milwaukee. It's a lot going on, man. Listen, be careful if you are outside this weekend. Apparently, the mosquitoes in Wauwatosa, I don't know how they narrow it down to Wauwatosa when outside is outside. But hey, the mosquitoes specifically in Wauwatosa has been tested positive with the West Nile virus. They are telling us to wear long sleeve shirts in 80 degree weather and insect repellent, right? Not sure how that's going to work, because if I'm not mistaken, doesn't matter if you have on long sleeves or not, you still can get bit. But protect yourself, man. Protect yourself. Outside of that, they are stating in the news that, according to NBC News, America's water system is under attack. Someone has hacked our water system in several different states. How does this happen? I'm not sure. But my question is, what do we do in the event that this happens to the entire states throughout the United States of America? We also talked about the Terrence Spencer trial and him being charged. He's scheduled to go to court on September 11th. But I want to tap back into the elections, not necessarily the candidates, but just the elections overall. So we know that there has been a lot happening the past few weeks with candidates dropping out of the race, re-entering the race, and then other candidates just completely dropping out in totality. According to The Hill News, a Dane County Circuit Judge ruled Wednesday that Wisconsin voters cannot request new ballots for the Democratic primary in the governor's race following a string of candidates dropping out or re-entering the race in the closing weeks. Judge David Conway's ruling ended a lawsuit by the state's Democratic Party against the Wisconsin Elections Commission to allow absentee voters to submit new ballots because of the change in list of candidates. The ruling came after the WEC wrote out guidance on the ability for voters to receive new ballots. Conway wrote, "The unambiguous language of the statute does not allow a voter to spoil an absentee ballot after it is returned." Now, if I vote for somebody and they drop out, I do agree that I should be able to vote again. They said that there was 140,000 people who voted. 140,000 people who had already voted. And I'm not quite sure out of those 140,000 people, how many voted for Mandela or for Sarah Rodriguez. But that's 140,000 people who votes won't matter. So when we're talking about the new voters, voter education, we're trying to get people who are 18 years or older to vote, people who are restored voters, people who are, you know, who are felons and had their voting rights taken away and now they have them back. New time voters, people who haven't voted in a while, this would be discouraging, right? This would be very, very, very discouraging to say that, hey, and then we constantly push and push and push on early voting. Hey, let's make sure we do early voting. You can submit your ballot. You can do this, do that. Only for this to happen. And then it's like, oh, well, now your vote just doesn't matter. And not to mention 140,000 people is a lot, right? Because had these people dropped out prior to them voting, then they would have voted for someone else. So again, I don't agree with that statute. I think that something needs to happen, when it comes to elections, regarding the early voting and candidates, dropping out early. This is crazy. 140,000 votes are going to be gone down the drain, Wisconsin. That is important information to know. That is extreme. That is disappointing. That is disheartening, right? Especially if they say every vote matters. Does it? That's the question. Does every vote truly matter? Apparently not. Because there are statutes set in place to say, hey, if you vote, if you decide to vote early, listen, vote at your own risk. That's basically what it's saying. If you decide to vote early, understand that there is a chance that candidates can drop out of the race and that your vote will no longer matter. And you cannot vote again. Once you vote for someone, that's it. That's it. So I have never been a fan of early voting. This is just my personal opinion for reasons like this and for reasons of the history, you know, the history of them miscounting ballots and misplacing ballots and all of these other things. I like to wait until, you know, closer to the primary so that I can make sure whoever earns my vote gets my vote. So again, This is frustrating, man. 140,000 votes going down the drain. They cannot vote again.
You think they be doing that on purpose, like dropping out, keeping the votes with them?
Man, it's, you know, there are people who are sent into these races to cause division or to split the vote, as they say. And it's interesting because I seen a statement that Hong released yesterday after Mandela dropped out, saying, hey, for those who was voting for Mandela, welcome to death row. She basically was saying, like, come on over here. I welcome you to vote for me. Now, I don't know if that was, you know, on purpose, because we know that there has been rumors that allegedly him and her has some relations going on, right? Allegedly. But I am eager to see if he's going to endorse her. I'm eager to see if he's going to support her and put all of his resources behind her. Again, I think it is very odd that she, if I'm not mistaken, she was actually the only candidate who actually welcomed Mandela voters over to her side. Shout out to the chat. Jasmine West says that interview was good and she showed me more than I knew. That thanks you for talking to her. Exactly. Thank you, Jazz. That interview was amazing yesterday. Shout out to Mrs. Erica Crowley. We're talking about the fact that 140,000 people votes will not matter and they cannot vote again if they voted for a candidate who has officially dropped out of the race. And there was a statement that Hong wrote yesterday inviting Mandela's support and, you know, people who follow him to join her movement. And it was interesting to me because now I wonder if it was a part of the plan all along. I also am curious to see if he's going to back her. But most importantly, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric surrounding Hong. And honestly, I'm sorry, there's a lot of talk surrounding her and a lot of support. And I'm not here to bash her, but if you are familiar with politics and if you are a voter or anyone who pays attention to politics, a lot of the things she speak about is just not possible, man. That's just what it is. We all know what it should be, but at the end of the day, this system is this system. It was built this way. It's going to be this way as long as the people who control it controls it. So I don't feel like she's realistic. I don't believe she is realistic. And starting to wonder if she's a plant. Starting to wonder if someone sent her. Who sent you?
Would Mandela endorsement mean anything, though?
No. If he endorses her, that would be messy.
How much weight does it hold?
I mean, but endorsement doesn't just come with him saying, I endorse her. It comes with whoever was backing him, they're going to back her, you know. So, again, and he doesn't have to say publicly that he's going to endorse her. He can do this behind closed doors if he wants to as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, someone else dropped out of the race here shortly. Hopefully someone does. But, again, I just hope that we don't become bamboozled by false dreams and hopes that are unrealistic in this state of Wisconsin. Be realistic. You know, we all know, and this is coming from somebody who has fought and will continue to fight, but we all know what elected officials are capable of doing and what they aren't. And a lot of the things that she talk about, especially as it pertains to going up against the Republican Party, right, while in office, is not going to be realistic. That's just what it is. It's not realistic. And I can't vote for something that's not realistic. I have to vote for someone in a movement that understands the politics specifically in Wisconsin and what we're dealing with and how to navigate through that. And the fact that, again, I was listening to the interview that David Crowley did with Sherwin, and he was mentioning the fact that he agreed to this legislation, right? Like, he would have agreed to it because it was bipartisan. And I understand what he was saying, meaning that it is important to have, when you are an elected official, you do not have to agree with the other party, but it's important that you have some type of weight to where you can negotiate, because that's how things get done. If you are not able to negotiate with either side of the house, right, with the opposite side of the house, then you are not, it's going to be difficult for you to pass anything. So the fact that, you know, if you do have experience with that and you are able to get some bipartisan legislation done, then that is a plus. We're talking about someone who is going in headstrong, saying that they're going to do all of this for the people, when the people, like the real people, we know that it sounds good, but it's unrealistic. And if you're going in headstrong, they're going to veto everything that she wants, that she has plans to do, right? Let's talk about it in all seriousness. Whatever it is that she wants to do, they're going to veto it. They already don't like her. They already are calling her a socialist. So how effective can Hong actually be in office? She won't be effective. Nobody's going to rock with her. It's going to be difficult for her to get legislation passed. That's just my personal opinion. Let's talk about it. 833-212-1017. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you are building every single day. If you are a part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings, so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating companies, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Happy Friday, Milwaukee. Listen. It's been a long week. A lot happening. Before we went to break, we were talking about some conversations I had yesterday with Erica Crowley. We were also talking about the fact that 140,000 people who voted early, votes will now not matter. And there was apparently a lawsuit that was filed by the Democratic Party to WEC, attempted to allow absentee voters to submit new ballots, and that was ruled out in Dane County earlier this week on Wednesday. So again, those who are, and I understand some people have to vote early due to a lot of elders vote early or due to work or whatever the case may be. It just may be their preference, but understand going forward that this is a huge red flag. Whenever there is a race and there's as many candidates as it has been and candidates start to drop out and that's the candidate you voted for, you will not be able to vote for anyone else. Now, for someone who, hey, that's my pick, I didn't want to vote for no one else, that works. But again, 140,000 people, that's 140,000 votes that's going to wayside. That's something that needs to be looked into. That's something that needs to change. I'm not sure if it can, but again, that's a huge deal. We were also talking about some of the things that Hong is speaking on. Yesterday, she invited Mandela Barnes followers and the people who supporters, to join her movement. She has invited them to join her and vote for her and hop on board. I'm eager to see if he's going to endorse her or if he's going to endorse someone else based off of the comment he made when he did his departure video. So, again, we got a couple of weeks before the primaries, man, and it's been a mess. You know, this race has been all over the place. A lot of finessing. Rodriguez, excuse me. A lot of finessing going on. A lot of people playing money games, mind games, all types of things. But at the end of the day, all we can do is vote for whoever makes the most sense for us. So enough with the politics, man. Enough with, the worldly news that's very depressing sometimes. I want to double back on, again, a topic that was brought up in a conversation with Erica Crowley yesterday, which was depression, and she mentioned a specific type of depression, which is postpartum depression. And a lot of women suffer from postpartum depression after becoming pregnant with their child. And I just want to touch on not just postpartum depression specifically, but just depression overall, anxiety, whatever it is. We are in some crazy times right now, like seriously, from politics to weather to natural disasters to crazy people running around doing crazy things. The world is just filled with so much negativity, so much weight on top of social media, with the pressure of making folks believe that they have to be something or someone they are not. And with that comes a lot of self-doubt. With that comes a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of feeling like you have to prove yourself, right? And this is the time where we need to plug away from the world. Today, when I was sitting back taking a look at the news, right, I used to always stay updated, and I do to a certain degree, especially because I have to, you know, report it to you all. But every day I pay attention to this stuff, and it becomes more and more depressing. It's almost like is utilized to force the people, the masses of people, into panic mode 24/7. So imagine, you know, waking up, first thing you watch is the news. And what comes on the news? They're programming you to live in fear. They're programming you to be a certain way. And when you watch certain types of news, you have a 99-year-old woman was beaten by a stranger who randomly just was beaten on her door. You have people attacking and hijacking the water system in a country, right? You have what viruses. This stuff with the immunization shots, this stuff with the COVID vaccines, Iran and Trump. Like, every day is always something. Every day there is something happening. So much to the point where you just have to ask yourself, or make sure, rather, talk to yourself and make sure that you are doing what you need to do to protect your mental. Protect your mental health. The world is depressing. Right, let alone the things that we go through on a daily basis. So again, for those who know someone or maybe they're struggling with these battles, postpartum depression or any type of depression or anxiety, you can call 211 to get some assistance. You know, don't wait until it's too late. Don't allow nobody to make you feel like something is wrong with you or like you're crazy. That's not the case. Get the help that you need, man. We are living in a time where the world is just hard. It's very, very difficult. And there's so much that's going on. It's so easy to walk around and act like you're okay. It's so easy to walk around with a smile on your face as if, you know, nothing is wrong. And people say, hey, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. Like, oh, okay, cool. But in all actuality, you're not. You are not fine. Your mask and whatever it is that you're going through, because you don't have anyone there to tell you that they see you outside of that smile. Behind that smile, behind those laughs, they see that something inside of you is going on. And what we need to start doing is stop inviting, hey, you know, I ain't feeling too good, or this, or somebody's down and you want to bring liquor, you want to bring drugs, you want to bring men or women or whatever the case. No distractions. Get them some help. Get them some help. Stop feeding your people with distractions. I'm telling you, I had postpartum depression after my last baby, my baby, my youngest. And I didn't know what it was. And there were so many distractions around me, so many people pushing things in my way to get me to avoid from going to talk to whoever it is that I needed to talk to. You have people in your family right now who are functional depressants. You have people that you know who are suffering from postpartum, and we don't take it serious, right? You talk about them bad, got something to say about them, but you don't know what they're going through on the inside. You know, Erica sat across from us yesterday and told us she was very vulnerable with us, right? I heard her loud and clear when she said, I was in a dark space. I'm telling you, I don't know if I would be here. Go get help. Imagine how many people you're sitting around who feel that way, but they don't have the room or the space to talk about it because of how we were raised. How I was raised, you automatically start ribbing them. You know, you laugh it off or you joke about it, but it's nothing to joke about. So again, if you are someone who is struggling with that, make sure that you get the help that you need, especially in today's world. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.